Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. Perhaps earlier this month you saw an article in Fox News, if you read that, about a missing skier and snowboarder who turned up at a ranger station in Mount Rainier National Park. These two, their names were Taylor Cameron and John Mielkovec from Vermont. They're both 27-year-olders, and they were skiing and snowboarding on the mountain out there in Washington by Mount Rainier, and they ended up wandering off into out-of-bounds areas, and as it was, one of the people at the resort or at the mountain said, on account perhaps of the lure of untracked powdered snow, which is often a temptation. And as she later says, a lot of temptation gets people and stops them from thinking rationally. They went off away to what they thought would be more fun, and as evening fell, they decided to make their way back to the parking lot, now some distance from the mountain, and they got lost. And as it says here, the two men followed Highway 410, which was abandoned and closed on account of snow in winter. And they turned left onto Highway 123, going in exactly the wrong direction. 5 miles home this way, but they were heading into 250 miles or so of untracked wilderness. Bear country, wolf country, freezing temperatures, and their chances of surviving were growing dim. It turns out that they walked in that wrong direction, thinking that they were going the right direction for how long, do you think? Over 20 miles that night. They went 27 miles, and this is in snow boots, not in regular boots. And they wandered and wandered, realized that they were lost, but couldn't find their way out, and then eventually, you'll hear the rest of their story in a minute. But I share this story with you because human beings are just like these two 27-year-olds from Vermont with God. We go in the wrong direction. We wander away and get ourselves into great danger in a harsh, threatening, dark wilderness that is full of beasts, wolf country and bear country. Fortunately, they hadn't died yet. Fortunately for the people in this world, the judgment hasn't come yet, but wandering nevertheless in the wrong direction. And listen to some of these posts. I love the way humans respond to humans when someone's in trouble. They say, "Why do people think they can go off the path and enjoy the view when it's dangerous and even deathly? Stay in the path in designated areas, and help can find you a lot faster if you need it." And it says here, because some people like to take to the path less traveled. Crystal Mountain has some of the best backcountry in the Cascades. And it's just funny to hear how they call each other terrible names. It's really these kind of comments. But the point is that we go in the wrong directions. And this is written also in the Bible. Listen to this in Proverbs 21, verse 2. Tell me if this isn't the truth. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And as it says in Judges chapter 17, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. You go out into the world today. You ask a person, are you on the right track? Almost 100% of them will say, I'm going the right direction. Right? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits, weighs the heart, that is. And so what does God say when you're going off the beaten track in the wrong direction? This is not rocket science. He says, turn about face and go in the right direction. And isn't this what we see in the illustration that God has given us in His Scripture to speak to His people today in Nineveh? Look at what it says here in Jonah chapter 3. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message I tell you. So Jonah went through the streets and cried, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh did what? Believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. Tidings even got to the king. The king rises from his throne, believes God, repents, puts on sackcloth, and makes a proclamation that even your sheep, your herds, your animals should put on sackcloth. Not an animal, and the people. They should not even drink water, but cry to God for mercy. He says, perhaps, who knows, God may yet repent and turn from his fierce anger so that we not perish. Repent, when God repents, that doesn't mean he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." It means he's about to smash and he holds back his hand. That means he stops the last minute. And so what's God teach us? In this illustration of these Vermonters, what does God teach us in his holy word? So when the people are going in the wrong direction, he sends a prophet or a word saying, turn, repent, about face, go in the opposite direction. And what do we see here? When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Does this strike you as fascinating? Look at what the people of Nineveh did, the about face. What does it mean when you're wandering off of God's path into sin, into the wrong direction? What does it mean to turn, to repent? It means, number one, to acknowledge that you're lost, and then to be sorry for it, and then to turn and go in the opposite direction. But how many men here, when they're driving, ladies, you can testify, will your man stop for directions? Huh? They don't do it. Why? Because every way of man is right in his own eyes. We're not lost, honey. I know exactly where we are, I think. And if I don't, I'll get there soon. People are the same way. Will you stop and listen for directions? It says in Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." I was once in England studying there years ago, and I went to Buckingham Palace. You ever go there with the guard, with a deadpan face, the big crazy furry hat? I mean, like, who came up with that? But anyway, he's marching back and forth there, and he has that special ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And he gets to the end of his walk, and he has that gravel down there, so you can hear his feet really scraping and clicking. Comes to the end, and he stops, and he goes, and turns about face and walks in the opposite direction, right? This is what God calls us to do when we are wandering far afield into bear and wolf country, the freezing temperatures. People think it's going to be fun, though, to go out of bounds. People think it's fun to find some fresh powdered snow that no one else has ever walked. Oh, the freedom! Oh, the greatness! Oh, the wolves, the bears, and the death that awaits you if you go in that direction. But I find two things about this story from Nineveh amazing to me. I bet you do too. Number one, that they actually repented. Does that strike you? I mean, these people were terrible sinners. They were doing all kinds of horrible things, and yet amazingly, the whole town, the whole city, to the last, to the greatest of them, to their pets, to the king, everybody tears their clothes, puts on sackcloth, and says they're sorry, and turns. Why is this, do you think? Well, I think maybe some of those sailors had, I don't know, possibly shared their story. Maybe someone saw him spit up on the dry land, and they say, "Hey, here's a guy who just survived 3 days in a whale. He has a message for you. Wow, we better listen to this." That's possible. But the one thing I know is that at this preaching of repentance or of judgment coming, God gave to these people the heart to turn and to repent. I find that just amazing. You'd think, wouldn't that be great if America would turn? Just in an instant, in a second, like at the fall of the Twin Towers or at the fall of New Orleans, if we just all rent our clothes from the least of us to the greatest and said, "We're sorry, we're going to turn and go in the opposite direction." Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. So how amazing that this city a wicked city, did so turn. But you know, the thing is even more amazing than that is what it says here in verse 10. It says, when God saw what they did, how they returned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. That to me is just so unbelievable. They are in such sin, such lostness, and yet God forgives in an instant. I had someone come in here earlier today. You don't know her, so I can share this. And she shared a sin with me. Someone off the street that had been weighing on her for decades, had been haunting her. And we came here and prayed at the altar, and she received the Lord again and repented of her sin, turned to the Lord Jesus. And I almost felt weird saying, the Lord has forgiven you. Because I'm like, this has haunted this person for decades. And here she comes in, and in 10 minutes I can say, you're forgiven. Surely there must be more steps here. And I thought to myself, well, no. Because look at Nineveh. Look at God with them. Years of wickedness forgave them as soon as they turned. You know what is amazing? We underestimate how much God does not desire the death of the wicked. We underestimate his grace. We don't really understand just how much he wants you saved. And if you think it's quick and easy for God to say, after a lifetime of sin, forgiven, then maybe you should understand just how much he's paid for that forgiveness. The ransom of his own son, Jesus Christ. It may be quick for the Lord to forgive, but it is not easy or at low cost. He's quick to do it. It's easy for him because he wants to, but he paid the price of our sins and lostness by his own blood. Remember David, how he sinned. Remember Peter, how he sinned. Remember Paul, how he persecuted and murdered Christians and threw them into prison. Remember King Manasseh. He even burned and killed his own children in the fire. Loves this one. And I meant when we talk about sin, the moment he confessed his sin and turned to the Lord, God forgave him. Do you think that same thing can happen with you today? Have you been wandering away from the Lord in some area of your life, not listening to him and getting off the beaten path? Have gotten yourself in danger? Wolves, bear country. You're not yet dead, but you're in great danger. God says, turn, about face, and you may be assured. My repentance, he repents of the evil he intends us and forgives us quickly. When you confessed your sins earlier here today, he forgives you quickly. He delights in you. Remember the prodigal son? He went far afield. He wandered away. He came back. What do I have to do? Serve my dad. At least be a laborer for a while. Fall on my knees. He didn't even get to do any of that stuff. The father runs and says, welcome home, son. Quick, instantaneous, love, joy. Let us not underestimate how greatly God desires your salvation. And so, how did this story end with the men? They wandered 27 miles at night in the wilderness through this bear, wolf, freezing country, found their way to a ranger station, used a phone, and called for help. And the rescue team, which had been out all night looking for them, sent a helicopter and lifted them up and brought them home to safety. Well, this church is a ranger station. God has placed them all the way through the wilderness for wanderers who are lost in the woods to find such a church as that lady did this morning, to come in here after years of guilt, to find this ranger station and sit and kneel here with me and call home and say, God, forgive me. I repent and I believe the gospel. And God instantaneously, quickly, and willingly forgives us of our sins for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. So you take heart today, confess your sin, and live in the joy of the refreshment that comes from the mercy of our loving God. In Jesus' name, amen.